Now, if you would, we're going to turn that same three forms of unity to page 23, and we're going to read Lord's Day 8. That's questions 24 and 25, okay? And as is our custom, I'll read the question. If you would, please respond to the answer. Okay, here we go. Question 24 asks, how are these articles divided? Three parts. The first is of God the Father and our creation. The second, of God the Son and our redemption. The third, of God the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. Question 25 asks, since there is but one divine being, why do you speak of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Because God has so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one true eternal God. Beloved, these two questions encapsulate the great ecumenical creeds of the church as we see throughout the beginning of the New Testament church. Namely, how the one true God who in essence is one and who alone is possessed of all possible perfections has revealed himself in the redemptive historical narrative to be three distinct persons, each individually possessing particular properties not communicable to one another as persons, namely God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But the economical Trinity, economical meaning household management, said here in the Catechism, has a context to its placement. And since context is always beneficial, you might even say necessary for proper interpretation, let's just flip back in our thoughts and get a running start to Heidelberg Catechism 20, where the Catechism begins to identify the place of faith, which these two questions and answers are beginning to explain the content of in the discussion of the true faith. I did, in God's providence last year, I did these questions, and I found that I could no more answer them last year than I can this year fully, because we're talking about an incomprehensible God and how he's revealed himself in the historical narrative, right, of our redemption. So this year, I figured, well, I think I got an idea. We're going to just go back in the Heidelberg Catechism and start from 20 and see what they're beginning to introduce in our redemption. How am I saved from so great a sin and misery? Okay? So now we're going to go back to question 20 and begin there and start identifying the place of faith in our redemption. Faith. Are all men saved in by Christ as they perish in Adam? And we should all have these. No. Only those who by true faith, there's the introduction, are grafted into him and receive all his benefits. And question 21 teaches us its nature, the nature of true faith. Namely, that true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also a hearty trust which the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel. And a little side note, and what do we, by the principle of grace effectively working in us, by faith, trust concerning the gospel? What do we trust concerning this? Right? That not only to others, but to me also, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. And lastly, concerning this great subject of true faith, question and answer 22 identifies the content, the certain knowledge of what is necessary for a Christian to believe. And the answer to that is what? All that is promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith teaches us in summary. And then question 23 goes on to state in summary what those necessary articles of the Christian is to believe, namely the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed, which we just read shortly before, right? And lastly, it is from this question, which we're going to consider today, 24 to 58, the Catechism goes on to give a thorough explanation of the 12 articles of what is true faith, right? The content of true faith. And this is the overarching, as we see where it fits into this, into the Heidelberg Catechism, from 24 to 58 is the overarching lens through which we interpret the Catechism's instruction on true faith, right, in the great topic of our redemption. And in like manner, question 24 and 25 gives us the lens through which we are to interpret properly the Apostles' Creed. Namely, it is based on the revelation the one true God has given us of himself and which is necessary for us to believe. Meaning, beloved, that the Christian's basic confession is that the one true God has revealed Himself in Scripture to be three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who alone is the source of creation, redemption, and sanctification. Alright? But, in saying that, it is necessary to note that although these acts mentioned are particularly attributed to each individual person, does not mean that each of the three persons of the one divine being acts independently. It isn't the Son's redeemed us and the Father's created us, but no, it's all one work together. And I would like to give us a couple of examples of that through the Word. Right? Example of this is ascribed to God the Father as being the one who has created us and the whole world. That's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But Scripture also emphatically declares to us that this act of creating was by the Son in union with the Holy Spirit. In such passages as John 1:1-3, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." And in Genesis 1:2, we read, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Likewise, the Apostles' Creed describes to God the Son as the one who has redeemed us. Yet we know that He came, being sent by the Father, through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 4:4-5 teaches us that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. And concerning the Spirit, in the work of redemption, we read in John 1:32, "And the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon Him." And lastly, when the Creed describes to God the Holy Spirit as the one who sanctifies us, sets us apart to a holy use, right? Scripture reveals that He is sent by the Father and by the Son. He proceeds forth from them. We read this in passages like John 14:16, "And I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever." And in John 16:7, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." Beloved, this is the Trinity, which is the most basic truth of all. For unless we understand who God is, we shall never know the truth properly about anything else, especially how I am redeemed from all my sin and misery. Amen?